Guess what day it is?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go
but
away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful, worry. What's your
and
hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
or
hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I
the
pour.
The neighbors might
baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how
eyes are like starlight
to break
now.
This spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks
I
swell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I'm moving
at least I'm going to say that
give
I tried.
It. I love it.
I really can't
are you ever going to turn it off?
Baby, it's cold outside.
By the way, Lou Manfredini and Lindsay Smith do such a nice rendition of this. I don't know if you've heard
I
them.
Have not.
They recorded it, actually, and it sounds so good. I'm sure it's on our website, WGNRadio.com, under Lou Manfredini's homepage.
They should have every show do that, like you and Steve, you know, like
oh, yeah, because
Wendy
oh,
and Bill.
Because I sing so great.
Justin and Pete.
All right, so it's cold, it's freezing, it's the perfect day to stay in bed, if you're able to,
yeah.
Under the warm blankets, under the warm covers. Sandberg has a duvet issue.
Yes, I am so angry with myself.
Why?
Well, do you guys have comforters or duvets?
I have a comforter.
I have a comforter as well, but it's kind of like a fleece
comforter.
Bottom. It's so nice.
Comfort. Mike?
Mikey, what do you have?
I just have a comforter, maybe a sheet.
And maybe a sheet.
I think
and
a
maybe
sheet.
Maybe a sheet.
Yeah.
Do you have the duvet or the comforter?
I have a duvet. And after our last duvet, I had told myself I am never doing another duvet again because I wash the duvet covers a lot.
Right.
And then you have to wrestle the duvet
stuffing.
Back into it and then, you know, tie the little corners and then try to, like, get it flat again. And it's so frustrating. But then when we moved last year, I got caught up in the Restoration Hardware catalog.
Oh.
Ordered another new duvet cover and... You know, it's expensive, and so it's been like 15 months, and as I was wrestling, I washed them yesterday, and as I was wrestling that duvet back in the duvet cover, I was
thought,
cursing myself, how long do I have to keep this thing where
right,
I've
right.
used the value of it until I go and I'm buying a comforter next. I am not going to do another duvet ever,
isn't that
ever,
funny?
Ever.
It, how you just said, I think you just hit the nail on the head. You spent a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
more so than a comforter, which
mm-hmm.
you could get on sale pretty much anywhere.
Anywhere.
But you have to use the value of it. I literally have done that. I'll say, all right, I paid $150 for whatever it might be, a pair of boots or something
mm-hmm.
like that. I have to wear them X amount of times.
Oh, I amortize the value of everything. Yeah,
completely.
Like, so the boots I'm wearing now basically are like 3 cents a wear at this
yeah.
point, you know, because I divide it out every
right.
time I wear it.
I did that. I know they had a Friends episode on this, but I bought a pair of boots in Scotland. They are so cool. They're red and black. They're the most uncomfortable. When I bought them there, it was summertime. I thought, oh, this is great. I must have had either like a thin sock or no sock. Then now when I put a sock on, I can't even wear them. But I paid so much, I thought, if I can wear them 150 times, at least it'll be a dollar a wear.
A dollar a wear, yep.
And I can
understand
deal with
that completely. So that's the position I'm in with my stupid duvet cover.
So are you using it, though?
We use it every night.
Okay.
And it's white. And I wash the duvet cover every 2 weeks.
It's white? No, shocking.
Hmm. Yeah, I like all white bedding.
Seems like a lot
of
work.
You wash it every 2 weeks?
The duvet cover. I
you
do. Because I wash the sheets
weeks.
Twice a week. So I like the...
You wash the sheets twice a
Did
week?
Did you say
I
twice
do.
A
I love,
week?
Clean sheets are one of my favorite indulgences.
Do you guys
I
go to bed dirty or what?
No,
week?
I just like I like clean sheets.
Wow.
I don't sleep
I feel,
great, so I think clean sheets always help. That's what I
feel
do.
So dirty. I mean, I think no. I do mine once a week.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Andy's going, I don't, you have to wash sheets.
Ask a college student.
Carry the two. Let's see. Divide by four.
Yeah, my son came home from college, and I'm like, ooh, when did you wash your sheets last?
My sister, when she was in college, she just slept on top of the comforter because she didn't want to have to wash the sheets, so she never
before.
Went under.
I've done that, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
not
I'm a
now,
goofy
not recently.
About washing stuff. So,
I did that last week.
You know, not recently.
Every 2 weeks, I'm wrestling that duvet back into the duvet cover, and it makes and you can't get it flat ever. Like, it takes a couple days before all the bumps finally get
and
out.
And then the buttons.
Maybe
and,
that should
oh,
be
the
text question
are the most
of the day.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be the text question. Duvet or comforter?
Duvet or not duvet?
I went back to the comforter. But then you have to buy a blanket. So if you have a comforter, you have to have a blanket, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I have enough trouble with that fitted sheet. Forget about this duvet stuff.
I don't have a blanket with my comforter. I just have the sheet and then I have the comforter. Because my comforter, like I said, has fleece.
That's the thing. I like the weight of the duvet, so I need to find a comforter that has that much heft, I guess.
This is good. This is a good discussion to have.
Quite a few of them. I think you'll be okay.
It's a good discussion to have when it's 9 degrees.
Well, I can't buy it anyway because I spent so much money on this one that I think I have to keep it for 2 years at least.
Can you donate it?
No.
Was it a gift?
No, I purchased it, but it was a lot of money.
How come you don't want to donate it? Just donate it and buy a nice comforter.
Probably somebody that gets that, they're going to say, who is this girl that bought this annoying duvet and is trying to hand me off her pain in the butt situation?
At least it'll be clean, though.
Yeah, it'll be very clean.
617. All right, that's Sandberg's duvet or not. What was it? Duvet?
Duvet or not duvet.
Or not duvet. I love that. That's perfect. Again, like I said, perfect when it's 9 degrees outside. Wind chill is 7 below. Out of Hollywood last night, I was stunned seeing a play last night and got an alert from ABC News that Alan Thicke died, the dad on Growing Pains, 69 years old. What a tragic and sudden loss. I think he was playing hockey.
Playing
right,
hockey
Andy?
With his son, yeah, only 69 years old. And you know, the weird thing about it yesterday, I started seeing the news as I was watching the Blackhawks game last night, and then there was something on Facebook that said that it was a hoax, that he was alive. Yeah, and these two websites, and I can't remember the name of them, thank goodness, because I really don't want to give them any publicity, but, you know, it's hard when you're looking at the internet now to figure out what's
a hoax
real
and
what's
not.
Yeah. And to mess around with something as serious and as sad as this, just I wonder what's wrong with people.
Yeah, it was extremely sad. Once ABC News confirmed it, you know, Hollywood was all abuzz. Alyssa Milano tweeting last night right after she heard Alan Thicke was always the nicest and happiest person in the room. Gone way too soon. Rest in peace. And Bob Saget, so sad is the passing of Alan Thicke. Such a good husband, father, brother, friend. He'll be deeply missed. Rest in peace, dear Alan. And that's what everybody is saying about Alan Thicke. Just an all-around family man and just a heck of a nice guy.
Yeah, and worked, you know, obviously in Growing Pains and then more recently saw him on How I Met Your Mother. He was the a character that appeared as himself, a former Canadian television host, and you get that sense, even just having watched a lot of those episodes with him in it, in How I Met Your Mother, that a lot of the sentiments that are coming in are quite accurate.
He was just on This Is Us, too. I'm catching up. I just caught up on This Is Us, and he had a little bit of a role. He was kind of like a star with it. He played himself, but he was a star within the star on This Is Us. Just extremely sad. Did you know he was Canadian, of course, and he was initiated into the Canadian Walk of Fame. You know, we have the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And just with his family and everything, saying he started out in Northern Ontario. He was in a small town. He didn't even have a TV set. Their family was so poor, they didn't even have a TV set till he was 7 years old. So to take a moment and fast forward to what he had become, you know, for a little kid to grow into Alan Thicke, I mean, very, very cool.
And I think I was reading somewhere also that he had an effect on another sitcom in the 80s, and that was Different Strokes. He actually wrote the theme and sung the theme
to How
Different
about
Strokes.
That? Very musical family. Yeah. Robin Thicke, of course, is Alan's
son. Blurred Lines, that was the
And some of the millennial, you know, the kids didn't know who, like, my kid didn't know who Alan Thicke was. I had to say, Robin Thicke, his father. Oh, yeah. Then it kind of caught on. So
yeah, he was in an Emmy Award winner, Golden Globe Award winner. He just has such a great list of credentials. He will truly, truly be missed. So our thoughts and prayers going out to Alan Thicke's family. And again, what a sudden loss to be playing hockey, have a heart attack, not feeling well. Then they called the ambulance and rushed him right to the hospital where he died again. So Alan Thicke dead at the age of 69 years old. A lot of tributes will be coming in today. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk more with Dean about Alan Thicke.
Obviously way too young.
Yeah,
I think anything under 100 these days is way too young.
Yeah. Especially as we get older.
Anything under 100,
You know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. So again, thinking about Alan Thicke today. Speaking of hockey, a little bit of a better note, the Blackhawks won last night.
Yeah, played really well last night and got some of their guys back finally. Jonathan Taves and Brent Seabrook able to rejoin the ranks of the healthy and contributing to a win yesterday. And it's time to listen back to the better parts of last night's game and what we do all the time here on the Blackhawks Express, which is sponsored by Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing.
The Chicago Blackhawks lost a tough, tough game in overtime to the New York Rangers 2 games ago at the United Center as former Hawks goaltender Antti Raanta stopped them all in a 1-0 overtime loss. Tonight here at Madison Square Garden, Blackhawks look to repay the favor to the New York Rangers. Ranger line left circle to the slot. Ben Riemsdyk shoots. He scores! Trevor Ben Riemsdyk from across the Hudson over in New Jersey, snaps it past Antti Raanta, and the Hawks lead the Rangers 1-0 with 14:42 left in period number two. Up by Holden, left point, he moves down and fires, and Seabrook blocked that behind the net. Now puck in front of the net, they score! This one was poked over the net by Lindberg, and standing beside the net for the Rangers, it was Jesper Fast. He slapped the puck out of midair and in behind Darling, and 1-1 is the score. Kruger over the Ranger line, right circle, drop pass to Keith, and the slot moves in, shoots! Save is made by Raanta as he does the splits again. Back to Campbell behind the net, put it in front of Nisi Lash, shoots, he scores! The former Ranger coming back to MSG to haunt his old mate. And Isimov took a handoff from Campbell, and at the top of the Ranger crease, he buries it past Raanta. It's 2-1 Hawks. The Hawks hang on and beat the New York Rangers here at Madison Square Garden. 2-1 is the final score. The Hawks avenge their overtime loss a couple nights ago at the United Center, and they win here in MSG 2-1.
How great was that?
How great was it that they decided to play in New York?
Yeah.
But they had work in the morning show the next day, so the game ended at a decent hour, too.
I know, right?
So considerate. Thank
that?
You, guys.
You know what's funny, though? So Taves back on the ice, and Q said yesterday, well, we're only going to play him for 20 minutes or whatever the allotted time
would be. Yeah, it was 14.
14 minutes. Yeah. And, you know, we're so used to him and what a stellar athlete he is. Mm-hmm. I'm going, no, don't take him out.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
You know, it's so funny because it's not that they didn't miss him, but he really wasn't a factor. I mean, he won a couple of faceoffs last night. Seabrook was a...
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I'm America Ferreira, and I'm here in Waukegan, Illinois, where a community is fighting to close a coal plant.
Hello.
Hi. There is a coal plant right across the street.
What do we want?
Peace.
What do we want? It?
Everything is on the line. People's lives are on the line. The climate is on the line.
What is it really going to take for us to stop burning coal?
It's 6:39 in the morning, 720 WGN. It is the Steve Cochran Show. Did you guys know that more than 62,000 people live within just a couple of miles of the Waukegan coal plant? 76% of those people, Latino, African American, and 49% are low-income residents. And when you think of the fight against big coal, you might not necessarily think Chicagoland. Will definitely start thinking that way. If you've had a chance to see any of the National Geographic Channel's Emmy Award-winning series, Years of Living Dangerously, they're fascinating, and they're very, very well-done documentaries. There's a brand-new one. You just heard a little bit of it. That was America Ferrara. She is the narrator and the host of this one. It's called Breathing Coal. We wanted to talk a little bit today about Chicagoland's fight against big coal, and one of the stars of that program, Dulce Ortiz, she's an activist featured in that episode, and Christine Nanaselli, the campaign representative, who can kind of give us a better idea of what we're dealing with. Good morning. Thank you both for being in studio today.
Good morning. Thank you.
Great to be with you.
Christine, tell us a little bit about the project, the activism that goes on with this, and the problem that we're facing with big coal here in the Chicagoland area.
Absolutely. Well, the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign is really an unprecedented environmental campaign in U.S. history to shift our reliance from one of the dirtiest sources of power, coal, and moving towards clean, renewable energy like wind and solar. And Illinois is really actually a coal state, and we still see a number of coal plants remaining in Illinois, in particular the one on the shores of Lake Michigan up in Waukegan. And it's one of the oldest plants, but it is still hanging on, mm-hmm. and there is incredible work happening on on the ground to make sure that we get a retirement date and a sound transition plan for the local community.
Is there a retirement date? Is there or has there been, and it just keeps getting pushed back? Is there a time or a date when it will close or at least cease operations?
There has not been a retirement date set yet for the plant. The plant is almost 100 years old. Wow. It was built in the 1920s. It's currently owned by New Jersey-based NRG Energy, which is one of the largest fossil fuel companies in the United States, and they have refused to really work with the Sierra Club and local community partners to establish that long-term sunset date.
Dulce, how'd you get involved with this? You're kind of this unwilling activist. Didn't think you'd be thrust into this role.
No, not at all. I think, you know, my main important job is I'm a mom, right? So I have my son, and I worked in downtown Waukegan for approximately 15 years. I moved there, downtown Waukegan, 4 years ago. We have a beautiful lakefront, and unbeknownst to me, there is a coal plant right on the lakefront. So I know that, as Christine said, you know, it's a very old plant. It's a minority community. Unfortunately, there's a lot of individuals there that have, you know, other priorities, such as, you know, getting a job, making sure that they, you know, are able to pay for rent, put food on the table. And we also have a large portion of undocumented
immigrants.
Yeah. In my community. And also to learn that one of three children, you know, suffer from asthma or asthma symptoms. You know, to me, that was, you know, not a coincidence, because also I develop asthma. Mm-hmm. My mom suffers from asthma. So, you know, every winter she's at the doctor's office, and she, you know, I appreciate her because, you know, she takes good care of herself, eats healthy, works out, you know, the normal. But she was just really struggling, you know, having breathing problems, having to, you know, get inhalers. And then, you know, I was diagnosed with asthma. So I'm not waiting for my son to get diagnosed. So I thought that this was, you know, something really important that someone needed to, you know, voice our concerns. Most of the time, you know, minority communities are pretty much left out and not heard. So I thought this was, I love the city of Waukegan.
Yeah, you don't want to move. I mean, you're there. You love your home. You love your community. You want to stay. You don't want to have to move because of this. How soon after did you, when you moved and when you were living in your home, did you start to notice symptoms or something might be related to the plant?
So it was about a year. So about 3 years ago, that's when I, and it was exactly just, you know, when I met Christine and I became involved with the campaign.
And Christine, what did you say? We should do something about this. I mean, because I'm sure other people in the community are upset by it or talking about it. And did you say, you know what, we need to take that first step?
Absolutely. I started meeting with folks on the ground as an organizer in 2013. Dulce was one of the first people I met, having a lot of one-on-one meetings with folks, really listening and hearing what are community concerns, what are hopes for the community. And Sierra Club had been involved for years previously in litigation around that plant, because it has a history of air and water pollution violations. But we really wanted to explore if there was an opportunity to do some more on the ground grassroots organizing to push this effort forward. And incredible stories from Dulce and other committed leaders on the ground really showed that there are folks ready to, I think, take on this fight and forge a healthier, clean energy future for Waukegan.
And just last week, Dulce and the other activists, the advocates as well, were featured in the episode, scored a win. Illinois passed the biggest clean energy bill in state history, bringing many of these issues to the forefront. So hold that thought. We're going to talk a little bit about that and what that means for the state and for the plant. And I want to ask you both, too, about what a Trump presidency will mean, if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing, especially when it comes to coal plants and this one here in the Waukegan area. So hold that thought. We are talking with Dulce Ortiz and Christine Nanaselli from the brand new Nat Geo series, Year of Living Dangerously. This one's called Breathing Coal.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
6:48 in the morning, the Steve Cochran Show. We continue our conversation with Dulce Ortiz and Christine Naniselli, both involved with Nat Geo's show Uprising. It's basically Chicagoland area's fight against big coal. And you can watch that episode. It'll be tonight, 9 o'clock our time. It's the season finale of the Emmy Award-winning series Years of Living Dangerously. And we're talking a little bit about Dulce becoming this unwilling activist. Now you're in the throes of it, you know, because your son started out with asthma. You live in Waukegan near the coal plant. And have they taken steps at all to try to at least acknowledge that, you know, this could be a problem, or to try to change the emissions process or anything about how the production process evolves?
We met with NRG Energy in 2014, right after they had purchased the Waukegan plant and a couple of others in Illinois. And, you know, we had a relatively productive conversation with company representatives, and we delivered an elected official sign-on letter asking for a long-term plan for the plant, asking for new clean energy investments. But shortly thereafter, we heard from them an announcement that they would be installing low-grade pollution controls at the plant and really not being willing to establish a long-term sunset date for the plant, and really no meaningful real investments in clean energy. So it's been a very frustrating process, as you'll see in the episode. Sierra Club and many community leaders take the fight right to the shareholder meeting and to talk directly to CEO Mauricio Gutierrez. Mm-hmm. And they have really been unresponsive. They have a lot of efforts locally to make community contributions and other various PR efforts. But they have really been unwilling to sit down with community members and have some of the really hard conversations about what is the long-term plan for this plant. And until they're willing to do that, they're essentially holding communities like Waukegan hostage.
Do you find it ironic or interesting that the CEO is Hispanic and this issue is mainly affecting a Hispanic and predominantly Hispanic and African-American community?
Well, I thought that maybe we could make a connection that way, but no, it did not happen. And just, you know, to correct you, my son doesn't suffer from asthma. It's me and my mom.
Okay. And so, you didn't want your son to start
going
down that same path.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So, you know, it's been a struggle. We know that there is no way to burn clean coal, right? Mm-hmm. We know it affects our air. It affects our water. We know that coal is not as profitable as it used to be. Waukegan has a history of just corporations leaving us residents with, you know, all the pollution. And at this point in time, we have 5 Superfund sites. So if you think about it, if we as residents are not proactive to protect our community, then the same thing is going to happen. The Superfund sites, it really affects us because, you know, it leaves us no opportunity for economic development. So if we want a community, you know, to be the best that it can be, how can it when it continues to be polluted, left behind, and these corporations are not taking responsibility for their actions? So we as residents have to make them accountable.
Is there some hope, though, with the state passing the clean energy bill that they'll be forced to actually clean up their act?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think the extraordinary hope and success of the Future Energy Jobs Bill that just passed in the last legislative session 2 weeks ago, which Clean Power Lake County, Sierra Club, and a huge unprecedented coalition of advocacy and clean energy companies came together around, I think creates new hope in being able to dramatically increase renewable energy development in every corner of the state, in particular Waukegan. So we'll see over $12 billion in private clean energy investments over the course of the next 15 years. And so for communities that have really only seen coal plants in their backyard, now finally have the opportunity to bring clean energy businesses into these communities, create local solar projects, community solar projects, energy efficiency work, and actually create local jobs. And so I think that's a huge part of the big picture here and in creating solutions towards a clean energy future.
What are your thoughts, both of you, on a Trump presidency? Do you see things getting better, clearing up, or it's just completely going the opposite direction now? I guess maybe Rick Perry, being energy secretary, has picked for the EPA. Any thoughts on what a Trump presidency will help with your path?
Well, it's very scary, right? I think for my community, especially, not only on the environmental level, but on the basic civil liberties level. And for us, you know, as Clean Power Lake County, we do want our elected officials to recognize that this is not just about a coal plant, right? This is about economic development. This is about, you know, making our community better. And thankfully, with the Future Energy Jobs Bill, you know, it gives us hope and it gives us, you know, other opportunities. And with Trump's presidency and who he appointed to be the head of the EPA, which is a climate denier, mm-hmm. you know, thankfully, this bill that just passed, it offers us, like, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. So it offers hope. There's just very uncertain times ahead of us. And I think with a Trump presidency, what for me, what it means is, like, we ask the people, we need to take our power, right, and go ahead and voice our concerns and speak to our elected officials and start our work locally, and not wait until, you know, this whatever this president has in his mind, because we just really don't know what that's going to be like.
Yeah. You feel the same way, Christine?
Absolutely. I think, obviously, there are grave threats that I think we are anticipating from the Trump administration. Certainly, his cabinet selections are deeply concerning and troubling, sort of a who's who from Wall Street and from the fossil fuel industry. So we know that there is going to be unprecedented work to defend a lot of the threats that we anticipate coming. But to Dulce's point, I think there is hope because people are mobilizing. People are responding to this moment. And there is hope that we can still maintain progress at the local level, whether it be in Waukegan, whether it be in the state legislature with passing the Future Energy Jobs Bill. We can still make local progress, and we're ready to continue that work.
Absolutely. Check it out. I mean, Nat Geo does a great job, don't they? They do a great
Absolutely.
Job. Form your own opinion. Watch it tonight. It's on the Nat Geo channel at 9 o'clock tonight. Years of Living Dangerously series. It's called Uprising. Dulce Ortiz featured in that episode. And Christine Nanaselli, you're the representative for the campaign as well. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you so
Check
much.
Check it out. And
great
best,
to be with you.
Best of luck. You know, this is something that affects everybody. And Waukegan's a great city. You know, I'm sure they want the best for everybody as well. So check it out, Nat Geo, tonight. Thanks for both being here, and more next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great, big, important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. Toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
WGN. Good morning to you. It is the Steve Cochran Show.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need fun.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want. That's what I want.
Time to talk a little bit of money. We're in the swing of the holiday season. Christmas shopping. Hanukkah presents.
Your love give me.
Our friend Jordan Goodman joins us now. Good morning, Jordan. Jordan, are you with us?
I'm with you. Can you hear me?
I certainly can. Yeah, Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com. Love talking to you. It's right in the height of Christmas season as well, when my credit card's almost maxed out.
Already? The stores have a few more days to go.
Oh, the stores love me. I'm telling you. And I love these flash sales that they have now online. They'll send you these emails saying, okay, flash sale between noon and 3, everything
right.
is half off.
This has been the strongest season. It's going to be the strongest season in history because consumer confidence is an all-time record high. The stock market has been soaring. The Dow is up to almost 20,000. All the enthusiasm about what's going to happen in the economic growth for next year. So people are just buying like crazy. But the difference now is that most of the sales, the growth, is happening online. Retail stores in brick and mortar are kind of about the same as a year ago. But online sales are up, depending on the retailer, 20 and 30% over a year ago. So hey, that's where it's happening.
Any way you can buy, right? I mean, isn't that kind of their mantra? If you want to buy online, if you want to come right. to the stores, it's
they
still
call
money.
It multi-channel
yeah.
business. That's right.
I call it multitasking, but multi-channels, yeah.
Multi-ways of getting into your wallet, basically.
It is interesting, though, because I used to, by this point, at least have physically gone into a store, bought a few things. Now I've done mostly everything online.
Well, that's
it's just
exactly
easier.
The way people are doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, this year, Macy's is closing 100 stores. Sears is closing stores. I mean, the traditional retailers, there's about 1,100 malls in the country. And I saw a recent projection, about 250 of them are considered economically viable. So there's going to be a lot of malls that aren't going to make it as people keep shopping online. They get more convenience and can shop prices and whatever selection they want. So it's going to hurt a lot of retail jobs, unfortunately, but this is the way things are going. One place is growing dramatically, which is Seattle, because they're building all these buildings. I heard they hired 50,000 people for the season at Amazon.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, they may be renaming the town of Seattle. They just call it Amazon.
Amazon, right? And all these Amazon, these big warehouses are popping up, too. I know
right.
they're building one in Chicago as well. That's got to be a boom for Amazon, too.
And wait till the drones start delivering all your stuff, you know, up to apartment 17F or something. That's going to be interesting to see how they get you in there.
That's really going to happen, isn't it? I mean, not
oh, yeah.
I mean, we kind of say that tongue-in-cheek, but I expect to see more.
In suburban homes, they'll absolutely have delivery by drone. Absolutely. But, I mean, I don't see how they're going to do that to apartment buildings.
No, it sounds like
the middle of the city. That would be interesting.
It sounds like a futuristic movie, too. Talking to Jordan.
Your drone is here.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, now you can get these drones. I know when they first started, they were between $1,000 and $3,000 for a good one. Now I'm seeing them at, you know, Macy's, like you said, Jordan, and Bed Bath & Beyond
right.
for, you know,
$50
to $100.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is the drone society here. So, I mean, that's all the good news. The bad news is exactly what you said. People are getting into credit card debt.
Right.
Bigger than they've ever seen. We're over $1 trillion in credit card debt right now. And when the bills come in January, from all that we're seeing right now, it's going to be kind of painful for people. So two specific things to help them. They can get better credit cards. They do not have to be paying 18 or 25% of their credit cards. A free website to get the best deals is guidetocreditcard.com. And you can get 6, 7% long-term interest rates. You can get cash rebates of as much as 6%, frequent flyer miles. Just get the best card for your needs. And then concentrate your spending on one or two cards so that, you know, if you're going to get frequent flyer miles for a flight somewhere, make sure you get it, because if you spread your spending across 10 different cards, by the time you've accumulated enough miles, they'll expire on you, right? So don't do that.
Yeah, and you know, Jordan, every time I go into any store, I mean, pick a store, Pier 1, Nordstrom, anytime you go, now I'm seeing more than ever they're saying, well, if you open a credit card, you save 20%. Yeah. And how tempting is that? Oh,
well,
I'm going to save 20.
Except it ruins your credit.
Exactly. So that's my question to you. Don't do that, right?
Don't do that. If you have good credit cards, just keep your spending on that. Because what will happen is people go into a mall and they open four or five cards. Everybody's, you know, giving you 10, 20% off immediately. But if you can't pay the bill, when the bill comes in, you're going to pay a lot more in interest than you saved on the shopping. And meanwhile, your credit score has gone down because these are what are called hard inquiries, meaning you're actually applying for credit. And one of them's not too bad, but 2 and 3 and 4, particularly in a short period of time, really hurts your credit badly. So you're going to lose more in your credit score than the small amount you're going to save in the shopping on the time. So that's get better credit cards. And also, if you've got a lot of credit card debt, and I know a lot of listeners do because I get emails from them all the time, consolidate it into a nonprofit credit counseling organization, because they will get you down to like 6-7% and help you get out of debt much quicker than you can on your own. My favorite place there is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. Their website, cambridgecredit.org. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. Last I talked to them, they're helping about 1 million Americans get out of credit card debt. About half of them are from Chicago, probably.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Don't do that. Don't go getting into debt this holiday season.
For sure.
You don't want to start 2017 that way. Talking to Jordan Goodman, our money expert, moneyanswers.com. Jordan, hold on. We're going to ask you about
sure.
the Fed likely to raise
big
short-term.
Thing today.
Yep,
absolutely.
Yep, short-term interest rates today.
Now, back to more Steve Cochran.
I need a dollar, that's what I need.
722, Jordan Goodman. What's the temperature, by the way, where you are right now?
In the 30s, not too bad. Now it's cold in Chicago, for sure.
We're sending you, and you don't need to thank us, we're sending you 7 for a high.
And this is the polar vortex. This is Chicago polar vortex.
Yeah, we're sending it your way, and we're also sending you something in the neighborhood of a foot of snow, probably Monday, Tuesday in New York.
It'll be a white Christmas. It'll be very nice.
Yeah, exciting. All right, so the Fed meets today. Will they raise interest rates?
Yes, they will. They're going to raise rates by a quarter point. Last time that this was a year ago, December 2015, after having kept rates at 0% basically for 8 years. And the stock market's soaring anyway. People are feeling they're expecting this now. The question is what kind of statement they're going to put out this afternoon when they raise rates. Is it going to be kind of hawkish? People are feeling they may raise rates another one or two times. I think at least two times in 2017. Sometimes, Steve, there are good reasons for rates to rise and bad reasons. This is a good reason because the economy is growing more. Confidence is rising. We don't need rates at these kind of emergency levels anymore. So that's the good news, is that it's going up for good reasons. The stock market's completely expecting. In fact, I think the stock market would fall if they did not raise rates today, which is a very unusual situation.
You got any bad news? It sounded like you were setting me up.
Well, yeah, the bad news is that people are losing a lot of money on fixed income vehicles. The long-term 10-year treasury has gone from 1.5% to 2.5% in the last month, or since the election, basically. And that's one of the biggest rate increases we've ever seen. So people who have bonds and what I call bond surrogates, things like utilities, real estate investment trusts, master limited partnerships, they've lost a ton of money, 15-20% on their principal in the last month or so. And I think that's going to keep going. Interest rates will keep rising. The long treasury now 2.5, I think will go over 3 and potentially higher. So and I talk to your listeners a lot. A lot of them don't want to play the stock market. They just want something nice and conservative to get decent income. And I've talked in the past, this has been very popular with your listeners. I like what are called commercial real estate income funds because that's a way of getting 8% with no market volatility and no fees, basically.
And that's an 18-month
minimum hold, correct. And after that, you can get your money anytime you like. They do a broadly diversified portfolio of commercial real estate lending projects for assisted living and shopping centers and rental properties and all kinds of things. And then actually when they sell the properties after they've been renovated, you get a piece of a profit, so you get a profit sharing on top of that. So 8%. But the main thing is you don't get any market fluctuation, so you don't lose your principal as people are losing with their existing things now. A website for that, commercialrealestateincomefunds.com. They've also got a phone number, 888-444-2102. A lot of your folks have been interested in getting into that because what's interesting, when the Fed raises rates today, they're going to raise, the banks are going to raise what they charge you on loans, okay, because the prime rate's going to go from 3.5 to 3.75. So what you get charged on credit cards and car loans and student loans is all going to go up. But what the banks are paying you for CDs and money funds is not going to go up, okay? That's why the bank stocks have done so well,
right,
is the spread between what they pay and what they earn is going to widen. So it's good for the banks, but as you as an individual, don't expect your rate on CDs and money funds to go up at all either.
And commercial real estate, what is it called again? Commercial
Real Estate Income Funds, with an S, funds.com. .com. Or 888-444-2102, 8% with no market fluctuation.
And what fees?
They don't charge any commissions or fees up front. The only way the people who run the fund get paid is on the back end, when they actually sell the buildings, they get a piece of the profits. So they don't get anything up front. They're only going to make money if things are successful for the investors.
Okay, so they're not taking money from you. They're taking money from the deal.
So you give them $10,000 or $100,000, and $100,000 is invested. You don't have any commissions off the top.
Got it.
Unlike other things.
All right, and what's the minimum in?
$5,000 to get into.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to take $5,000, put it in the bank and wait for a year to earn $5,002. I mean, that's not bad.
That's about right. Yeah. People are getting pennies. They don't even get free coffee at the bank anymore now.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not the bank's fault. You know, I mean, don't blame your banker. They're doing the best they can with the regulations they have.
Well, that's right, and that could be a big change. I mean, the Dodd-Frank regulations could definitely be eased up under Trump. We'll have to see, but that everything else is going to get reversed. Healthcare is going to get reversed. Energy policy, environmental policy, labor policy, and possibly financial policy as well.
Before we go, you can go to moneyanswers.com and get answers on all your things, money needs, things of that nature. But to bring it very back to where we started this particular segment, what's the immediate impact, if any, on a jump today by the Fed on the consumer?
Oh, on the consumer. Well, you're going to see rates go up on credit cards, car loans, if you get a car loan. Anything tied to the prime rate is going to go up a quarter point today when they raise their rate. And they're going to do it within microseconds of the Fed having to do it. They move the Fed, the prime rate up real fast. But again, what they move up on, what they pay you, moves up really slow. I wonder why banks do it that way.
And student loans, car loans, Jordan?
All based on the prime. Yeah. And so, yeah, those are all tied to the prime. Mortgages is not direct. Mortgages more indirect. Mortgages play off of the 10-year treasury. But as we said, that's gone from 1.5 to 2.5. So mortgages have gone from 3.5 to 4.5 on 30-year fixed. That's one of the biggest moves ever in mortgages. If you haven't refinanced your mortgage, the window is closing fast. A website for that, youcanrefi.com. I think mortgage rates are going to go up to 5%, you know, pretty soon. So
you still like SoFi for student loans?
I do. That's been very good. SoFi.com/moneyanswers. You can get about 2 to 3%. They're also tied to the prime, so they may be going up to 2.5 instead of 2. But yeah, SoFi.com is a way to refinance your student loans, both private and federal, all combined. Save yourself a ton of money on student loan refinancing.
And regardless how wacky the financial world is, pay for what you can afford. That's my big advice for you.
That is a good idea. Yeah. You have to tell that to Andrea because she's already spending more than she's...
Hey. Yeah. Okay, it is true.
Yeah. But it's all online, so it doesn't feel painful, right?
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, credit cards aren't just your friend in your wallet or your purse. You have to pay those back.
I'm saving money on parking.
Oh, good. Good. And gas. But you're That's giving you free license to click even more. Is
right.
That right,
it's true. No, I'm getting better, Jordan.
It is easier,
thanks,
Steve,
to
spend too much online because there's no friction. You just click a bunch of boxes, and there it is. No pain whatsoever.
Boxes show up, and you go, what? I got to pay for these?
That's true. The bills that people are going to have in January are going to be staggering because there was a recent survey. 40% of the people going into the season, so they're going to buy things knowing they don't have the money to pay it when the bills come in January.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great.
It's the American way.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. MoneyAnswers.com. It's Jordan Goodman. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thank you both. Appreciate it.
See you.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Governor Rauner chose to hold hostage the Illinois budget making, help his wealthy friends and large corporations.
We've already done our working groups. We are not interested in reconstituting any more groups.
The people that got held hostage were the people in Illinois who are dependent upon state funding.
I do not gather that there is any sense of urgency on behalf of the Democrat leadership to resolve this by the end of the year.
As far as I'm concerned, this should have been settled a long time ago, and it could have been settled a long time ago if everybody was reasonable about these issues.
You know Mike Madigan's view. Mike Madigan says, look, if you'll just do it my way, we won't have these problems. If we just lock it up my way, lock it down my way, if we just do everything Mike Madigan's way, yeah, we'll be broke. Yeah, well, the city of Chicago eventually turned into Detroit about 5 years ago. But I'll be good. And my people will be good. Those are my opinions, by the way. They don't reflect the views of anyone, including our guest, Christine Redonio, the Senate Republican leader. I have no patience for Mr. Madigan, Ms. Redonio, as you may know.
Well, I'm not so sure I don't agree with your views there. It's sort of my way or the highway.
Right.
But, you know, this is the season of hope, so we're always trying to get him back to the table. And it's really important right now because while everyone's talking about the cold weather and Christmas, it's only 2 weeks until this state has no budget whatsoever, and we spin back down into that chaos that we saw at the end of last year, where there's no money for the MAP grants, where human services are closing, including homeless shelters, which have been on the news. And it all comes back down to this issue, as was stated earlier, it's my way or the highway on the part of Mike Madigan.
So because of his continued efforts to just play his games the way he plays his games, what do people need to do to shut him down? Because the pitch I made yesterday and the day before is Democrats. This is the guy that claims he represents you. You need to stand up to him, and you need to tell the people you've elected. Doesn't matter if you're in his district or not. You need to tell the people that you've elected, knock it off. If you support Madigan and this continued stall, don't do it.
Well, and people, I know they're busy right now, and you know, with all the Christmas activities and so on, but people need to take the time to let Madigan know that having no budget, having the status quo, is unacceptable. And what's really scary to me right now is there is a scenario, it seems, out there that the best thing to do is do nothing until 2018. that is ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous.
It is causing real harm to people.
Well, let's talk about that real harm for a second. You take away MAP grants for kids going to college. Just picture any family at home over the holidays into January wondering whether or not their kid's going to have a school to go back to next fall. Or wondering whether the term kid would be finished. Okay, that stress is unfair. You take it all the way back to the other thing you mentioned, which is what kind of humanity do we have or we lack if we don't care that homeless people are going to be turned out into the street when the wind chill's 20 below because we can't get our act together in Springfield? Are you kidding me?
Right. It's all about, you know, comes back to who's going to stay in power in Springfield. And that is just the wrong approach. And I think that most rank and file legislators and certainly most people in this state find that completely unacceptable.
The governor has indicated to us on the air, on the record, and by the way, he is accessible. Madigan continues to refuse and duck anybody, including me. And I'll say what I always say, Mike Madigan, you're welcome here to refute any of the charges that I throw at you on almost a daily basis. And again, we're getting nothing but crickets. But the governor has said that he has been willing to cut his 44-point agenda to 4 points, now down to 2 points. And when you, the four tops, the leaders, get together with the governor, that the meetings go something like this. Okay, Mr. Madigan, you want to talk just about the budget? I'm ready. Let's talk just about the budget. And he told us yesterday that that meeting went this way. Madigan's people said, yeah, we're not ready to talk about the budget. How is that not anything but a stall?
Well, it is. That's all it is. It's a stall. And it's a PR game, Madigan trying to deflect blame onto the governor. And, you know, the governor's just been there 2 years. Madigan has been a fixture in this state and in the city of Chicago for over 40 years.
And this is the first time.
It's hard to see his lack of responsibility here.
And this is the benefit of social media. This is the benefit to the instant access that we have to news at this point. This is the benefit to knowing what you know. Everybody can blast out the fact that he's a fraud and he's stalling and he's only protecting his small group. And he's being exposed. He's finally being exposed for the fraud that he is. And the danger that he is, the danger that he continues to be, because he doesn't care about the people of the state. He cares about his people and he cares about continuing to do things his way and his power base. Andre, jump in.
Senator, I commend you and the other state lawmakers who held the breakfast yesterday where people could come to the community. This is in LaGrange, and ask you guys questions. And I think there was a statement that said $6 billion deficit, we know that, and $10 billion in unpaid bills. And you had said that bonds would be needed to pay delinquent bills. Does that necessarily mean automatic tax increase right there? Or is that money already, I guess, allotted for?
Well, look, I mean, the budget, because we've gone into such mayhem over the last few years, is a disaster. And every day we don't fix it, it gets worse. So I think the governor has indicated, hey, if we have some real change that sets this state onto a solid financial path, he's willing to consider revenue. But if and only if there's some fundamental reforms. So one of the things that could happen, and I think, you know, as we talk about frameworks, it's certainly possible, is that we could bond the unpaid bills. And so people get caught up. And, yes, we would need some sort of revenue stream in order to do that. But, again, to do it as a stopgap measure or just do that alone without fixing our jobs climate here and our economic growth would just be foolish. I will not put another tax on the people of this state unless there's some reform.
It's Christine Redonio, the Senate Republican leader. When are you guys scheduled to meet again, if at all?
We have no scheduled meeting right now. We're scheduled to be back in on January 9th and 10th.
But the stopgap budget expires at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. So we're looking at least a week of that kind of uncertainty, where people have to, you know, maybe rely on volunteers or other kinds of activities in order to get through it. I'm hopeful we can solve it that first week in January.
Well, the governor said that he is willing to hold meetings every single day from now on. Mr. Madigan said, I'll let you know a day ahead of time if I can make the meeting. Oh, by the way, I also want to say this because I said this before, too. But Mike Madigan, if you need me to pick up your dry cleaning, if you need me to get it to the Jewel, pick up some things for your family for the holidays, heck, I'll even do some Christmas shopping for you so you can make the meeting because I know how busy you are. I'm happy to do that as well. But are you, and I'm not asking you to speak for Mr. Durkin, but I know you're in contact with him all the time, are you both willing to meet when the governor says, let's meet, if it's today, tomorrow, the next day, or whenever?
I will be there. Absolutely, I will be there. It is a priority. And the way that the Democrats are treating this, that it's not a priority, and the unwillingness to share even a schedule so that we could schedule meetings just shows how insincere they are about really wanting to deal with this issue.
Yeah, yeah. And Mr. Cullerton, I believe, would like to move this forward, but he hasn't been able to break free from Darth Madigan quite yet.
I totally agree. I mean, John is a reasonable person. He understands the problems here, but he has been unable to overcome Madigan, just unable.
And Chuck Todd mentioned this. There is no state like this in the union. You know, the big party bosses that used to run Louisiana and used to run some other southern states. And I think that we had this problem in Michigan for a long period of time in different places. This is literally the only state left that's being kidnapped by one guy. It's got to end.
Exactly. And it's because, you know, this is where the governor talks about term limits. I mean, that is the problem when you have someone that's been around so long. Mike Madigan was a delegate to the Constitutional Convention in 1970. So he knows all the little power points and, sure, and ins and outs and how to block movement.
This is not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. This is an Illinois thing. You even brought up at this breakfast at Andrea reference that there are people on both sides who'd like to see this stall. Shame on all of you. And if I get a list of all of your names, I'll read it. I'll read it on the air over and over again, because you all need to be outed for the frauds that you are. I don't care what party you're in. Knock it off. You're hurting people every single day in this state, and I don't know how you look yourselves in the mirror.
No, I agree. I agree. It's getting harder and harder, believe me.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's
Christy Redonio, the Senate Republican leader, traffic from Marion. We'll come back. Got some other things to catch up to. And can we get Tim back to talk about this polar Armageddon? Is that what it's called, a polar Armageddon?
That's a great name for it. It's going to be Armageddon for the next few days anyway.
I feel bad when we go to Tim McGill with bad news for him to tell us. But then again, why would we go to you when it's sunny and 70? Right?
Yeah, thanks. Never care about me when it's nice out.
I care about you every day, and I'm worried about you this weekend. I had heard that you were considering moving to Florida now, like right now.
Yeah, if you can get me a cheap flight, I'm on board.
All right, how bad is it?
Well, first we got the Arctic air to deal with for the next 48 hours or so, and then we've got the snow to deal with over the weekend. The worst of the Arctic air we're going to experience tomorrow morning. Actual temperatures could drop to about 3 to 7 below away from the city downtown, maybe 2 or 3 above. It's the wind chill, though, tomorrow morning, 10 to 30 below. So that's why we've got the wind chill advisory in effect tonight into tomorrow. So that's what we got to deal with tonight and tomorrow. And then even Friday, the wind chills won't climb above zero until probably about midday.
But that's what's the upside? Plenty of room at the beach.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of room. Yeah. We could spread that blanket out. Yep. But we'll have some snow develop during the day on Friday. It looks like it'll be light in the morning. The worst of it, I think, is going to come late in the day into the night. And totals during the day on Friday up until about midnight, right now we're thinking about 3 to 5 inches, but another 3 or 4 could fall during the day on Saturday. And it's Saturday morning along and south of I-80. You could get a mix of freezing rain and sleet. But yeah, what
ridiculous.
A fun forecast, huh?
I feel really bad for retailers because retailers are getting crushed. They make all their money on the weekends.
Yeah, and especially these weekends leading up to Christmas.
That's three in a row.
Yeah.
We might not be able to do Christmas until, say, January 5th or 6th.
Just postpone it for now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Friday rush is the beginning of the problem?
Well, it'll probably be snowing during the rush hour, but I think the worst of it will come right after that into Friday night, the first round of snow. And then we could see a little bit of a mix south and then a couple more inches on Saturday, especially early in the day. But totals, right now it's tough to call, but I'm thinking about 5 to 10 inches and lesser amounts where we get the mix. But up near the Wisconsin state line, the area that got hit hardest, it seems like with the other two storms, could get about 10 inches or more. So... Yeah.
That's great. And all it takes is a little drizzle for the rush hour to shut down. So normally you sneak out early on a Friday. Now you got a reason to leave early.
Yeah.
So get out of work by noon if you want to get home before, say, Christmas.
You know, the glass half full, Santa's sleigh flies better in the snow.
There you go.
No, I just got a text from Santa. He said, I'm not going out in this crap.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Hi, Dean.
sing that song in my head when I'm not able to be with you.
I had carolers come by the house and sing it last night.
I did too.
Yeah,
I think it's catching on as holiday favorite. Soon to replace Bing Crosby's White Christmas.
And it's about time. Bing, he's played out. All right, so I knew Alan Thicke a little bit, spent some time with him, and had many encounters with him over the last 30 years. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Always had good experience with him.
That's very true.
Sad deal. He's only 69 years old.
How about that? You go to play hockey.
Which he did regularly.
Which he did regularly. He was in very good shape, seemingly, with his teenage son. They're warming up, and he collapses on the ice, is taken to a hospital where he later died. How horrible for the night. I feel so badly for
the kid,
19-year-old son. Yeah. What a horrible thing to have to witness and to live with for the rest of your life. But was a great guy. Couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been.
I'm pro too. Total pro's pro. Like he'd come in. He'd go. How much time do we have? And he'd give you exactly what you needed.
Yeah. You could ask him anything. Talk about anything. He was serious. He was fun. He had no problem when all the trouble with his son, Robin Thicke, came up. He had no problem whatsoever in talking about it. In fact, he was here in Chicago almost a year ago to the day, December 4th. He was in town doing a Christmas show. And
that must have been the last time we had him on. We were trying to figure out the last time he was on the show.
Yeah, I thought, for some reason, I thought it was more recent, but I went back and checked out the interview this morning, and it was December 5th, 2015. He was here doing a Christmas show, Kenny Rogers' Christmas show, as a matter of fact. And we talked about a lot of things, many of the old jingles that he wrote, the TV theme songs that he wrote for Growing Pains and Wheel of Fortune and Facts of Life. I mean, he a very prolific songwriter, but also had no problem in talking about his son, Robin Thicke's
issues,
legal problems. Well, the legal problems specifically with the copyright
infringement
lawsuit that he lost. We have that here.
They're appealing it, and the music industry expects them to win that appeal. You can't copyright a sound.
Right.
You know, they clearly didn't use the same notes in the song, so yeah. You haven't heard the end of that.
Do you talk to Robin about things going on in his career and his life? I mean, he's been in headlines for a variety of things over the past couple of years, as a dad, as somebody who is a veteran in the entertainment business?
He tends to listen to me occasionally, and sometimes just after the fact.
Yeah.
But, he's in a different decade, a different generation. It's VMAs, where he famously twerked with Miley
right? Yeah.
For instance, that would have been outrageous for a sitcom dad years ago.
Yeah.
But Elton John famously said about that performance, he said, people go on the VMAs to beat the competition. And Miley and Robin cleaned up.
Yeah. So, he taking a straight ahead, look at the whole thing. Some of the reaction that is coming in is overwhelming. I mean, this guy was so beloved.
Yeah, he really was.
By other people in the industry, including Ellen DeGeneres, who tweeted out, "America loved Alan Thicke. I'm so sad he's gone, sending so much love to his family." Ryan Seacrest, "Sad to learn about Alan Thicke's passing. He was a great friend over the years. Thoughts and prayers to his family." Demi Lovato, you would think generationally, wouldn't even know who he is, but said, "I had the pleasure of meeting Alan Thicke and his amazing wife, Tanya, a few years back. My thoughts and prayers are with his family." Russell Simmons said, "Rest in peace to my brother, Alan Thicke. The world has lost an icon." And Bob Saget, with whom he co-starred in this new Fuller House series that's on Netflix right now, tweeted, "So sad for the passing of Alan Thicke. Such a good husband, father, brother, and friend. He will be deeply missed. Rest in peace." He was here in Chicago just last month, kind of quietly snuck in for one of those TV convention things that they do.
Yeah,
At hotels.
Signed some autographs.
Yeah,
and stuff.
He was here with Tracy Gould, who played Carol Seaver on the show, and the young actor who played Little Ben on the show, all grown up now. They were all at this convention together just 1 month ago in Chicago.
One of the last times we talked in the summer, wouldn't have been two or three summers ago now, and he loved this studio because he was very willing to admit he was a dirty old man. And he loved watching. He goes, this town has such beautiful women. He goes, look at these beautiful women walking by your window, Steve Cochran. You are a lucky man. And he married a woman who I believe just turned 21. And they had a reality show of sorts that I don't even know if it's still on. But he was having a good time. He was having a good time in life. He was worried about Robin, but he was having a good time in life. And he was a fun guy to be around. So, yeah, I'm saddened by it as well.
Yeah, I've had nothing but nice experiences with him through the years.
And he's not wrong. There's a lot of beautiful women in this town. So,
are there some walking by right now?
Well, you can't tell what the clothes are wearing today. Good Lord. You know, it's 114 below. It's
parka weather.
Please.
That's true.
Kanye
he's
West.
Been married, by the way, to his little child bride. Married to her since 2005. So married, according to your calculations.
Well, the math would be really, really wrong.
Would
then.
Be really weird.
I forgot
he was married to Gloria Loring. I'm looking at his
yeah.
Remember singer Gloria
Oh,
Loring.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Married to her for
soap opera star.
14 years.
I don't know how old the woman is, but she's 69. She was probably 40, maybe, something like that. Somewhere in there. Well, it's not an audit. We don't have to go back and look.
I'm checking.
It up.
I'm checking, too.
Gloria Loring?
No, the woman he was.
Oh, okay.
The
name
of
Tanya, his current wife. Tanya Kallu was her maiden name.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
Callau.
The flip-flop house couple, we have
Who's the sister of Kenny Kallu, by the way.
Gory details on that split up.
Sister-in-law of Todd Thick, third
Dolly
wife of Alan
Parton
Thick.
News coming up, and secretary of what? Goofy?
Energy?
Donald Trump met with Kanye West yesterday. What cabinet position could he be up
it's
for?
It's about time this country has a Department of Hip-Hop.
What did Kimmel say last night, though? It's nice to see America's two next presidents standing side by side.
Yeah. I believe Secretary of Unicorns could be Kanye West's department.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972.
Just got a text from somebody, Dean, that said Alan Thicke was on This Is Us this season.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's very true. On the NBC series.
Yeah.
A couple of, I wouldn't say cameos exactly, but a couple of guest shots.
Yeah, he played himself, actually.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
with
a nod.
One of the stars who was plays a sitcom star on the show.
So they did. Oh, yeah, with the other actor.
Yes. It was kind
got
of
it, got it, got it, got it. Bruno Mars was on with James Corden last night for the
Carpool Karaoke. Yeah.
The bit they ripped off from us. You know, we did karaoke years ago, and suddenly it's on James Corden show.
Back in the 1950s, everyone remembers it.
Yeah, and the cars were slower then. But the Bruno Mars thing I'd recommend. I watched the clip this morning. So that's my entertainment contribution. Now let's go live to Dean for Kanye West with Donald Trump.
So I was in New York City yesterday, and
were you meeting on a cabinet position?
I don't want to brag about it. Some people are a little surprised that I would be there to meet with him, but we had a very productive meeting. Where I was doing my interviews yesterday with Oscar nominee Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
a lot of people say I remind them of him.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Irons also.
Yep. A lot of people say I remind them of him.
And the French actress Marianne Cotillard.
That's the one I get the most. A lot of people say I remind them of her.
Very nice conversations with them yesterday, but just two blocks away from Trump Tower, where all this was going on yesterday. Do you know that they've that around Trump Tower, obviously there's increased security now that he's president-elect?
Yeah, they've closed down Fifth Avenue for like two blocks in any direction, right?
Any direction.
Yeah.
The streets are closed
it's
off
nuts.
Around it.
It's hard to get around Manhattan on a good day.
On a good day at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't get around Midtown Manhattan. Now it's even worse. The traffic is ridiculous.
Yeah,
inconvenient, boo-hoo, poor us, but these little businesses that are on these streets, little stores, barbershops, delis, they're all going out of business because, you know, the traffic is now gone in those areas. But people who did get through yesterday included former athletic great James Brown yesterday. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates was there yesterday. But the most interesting of all was one Mr. Kanye West, who visited with the president. Apparently, we do know that.
Oh, the cuckoo in that room. Do we have a clip? Hold on. Here's a clip.
Just friends, and he's a good man. He's doing well. Long time. We've been friends for a long time. Life. We discussed it.
Money in 2020. Do you think that's something you still want to do in life? Hi, no comment about your meeting with the president-elect. This is the president-elect of the United States. Nothing to say?
I just wanted to take a picture right now.
Boy, getting Kanye to shut up is a pretty good move.
Yeah. If for nothing else, it's a successful president.
I've got to say, there's a lot of people that, you know, almost 100% of the people that come out of meetings with Trump have all said nice things. He's got them hypnotized.
God bless them all.
Yeah.
Here's what Kanye tweeted yesterday. Yeah. Maybe he didn't have
I'm on pins and needles. I missed
any words. So there were a series of tweets.
Yes.
First one said, I wanted to meet with Trump today to discuss multicultural issues.
Oh, that's true, because a helpful listener, just suggested he could be Secretary of Jackass. That's from a 224 listener. All right, what else?
Second one, these issues include bullying, because if anyone would know about that,
yeah.
Supporting teachers, modernizing curriculums, and violence in Chicago. Well,
those are all legit. Kanye could have written that.
Yeah, those are all legit. When was the last time Kanye was in Chicago to discuss violence in our city?
Can't remember.
Yeah, neither can I. Third tweet, I feel it's important to have a direct line of communication with our future president if we truly want change.
I would rather have him be on the phone with Putin every half hour than talking to Kanye every 6 months.
Okay, and here's the most disturbing tweet of all. Hashtag 2024.
Good God.
Because he had prior to this, after Donald Trump announced that he was going to run for president in 2020.
Yeah.
So now he's apparently...
He's kicked it back for
us. Let me do some quick math. Hopefully I can be retired by then and living in Santorini.
Here's the good news. Dean and I will be dead.
That's not good news. Why are you guys dead?
It's going to be a mutual suicide.
You guys have taken one for the team.
One morning.
A mutual suicide.
What we're going to do is record our own obituaries so you guys can play them back.
I just want...
If we have time, we will, yeah.
I just want to be living in a world where I have said what I've said about Trump, and 8 years from now, I'm wishing for more Trump. I mean, come on. Is that really it? Because if Kanye is your lead man...
I just want to take a picture right now.
Dolly Parton, what's she doing?
She did a big telethon last night. This is a very, very nice story. You know, she's from Tennessee, and those terrible wildfires that went through there, Gatlinburg, Tennessee area, 13 people killed, thousands.
Pigeon Forge, that whole thing?
Yeah, thousands of homes were destroyed there. So she did a big telethon last night. Cyndi Lauper showed up to appear and performed. Reba McEntire, Kenny Rogers. Taylor Swift donated $10,000.
Good.
Make fun of her all the time, but that's extremely generous.
Yeah, it's nice. Cleaned out the change compartment in her car.
Steve Harvey traded in one of his suits and donated another $10,000. Dierks Bentley, huge participation, huge names.
It's nice.
Participating last night to help those who were affected by that.
Last thing, the flip-flop couple who the world seems to be fascinated with, and I'm just not on board. What's the story there? It's a pretty ugly divorce, huh?
It's been a pretty ugly.
What I call the flip-flop
the
couple.
Flip-flop.
Same thing. It's the same. What difference does it
make? I believe that would fall under the category of close enough.
They're doing a series on E! About summer footwear called flip-flops. It's...
The flip or flop.
We're talking about Tarek and Christina El Moussa.
Yeah, I know.
apparently, we now know that they've been living apart for 7 months before the actual split.
By the way, I just got the voices in my head said it's Tarek Dean.
I believe it's Tarek.
No, it's spelled Tarek, but it's Tarek. Let me tell you something. If there's anything Sandberg knows, it's this show. She lights up like a Christmas tree.
Well, okay, the common Arabic pronunciation. I'm sure that.
Do me a favor. Never use that phrase again because I'll always laugh.
Okay.
The common Arabic pronunciation from Dean.
T-A-R-E-K is, I don't know how he says his name.
He says Tark.
It was Tarek.
Well, then you call him and tell him.
Jimmy, as I like to call him.
Yes.
Apparently has been living apart from Christina. They've been dating other people now for 7 months before the split. Apparently, Steve, there is a lot of stress in this relationship over the renovation of their home.
Mm. I'm sorry, I dozed off.
I was going to say, wake up.
Right in the middle of that story.
There was a lot of stress, and they think that that may have been part of the reason that they are now splitting
up. I'll be honest with you.
But apparently they hated each other enough that when they were filming their show,
yeah,
Tarek and Christina often had to be physically kept apart from each other during the breaks in filming. That's how much Tarek and Christina hated each other.
By the way, it's spelled Christina. It's actually pronounced Elizabeth.
common American
English spelling.
That's the common Italian pronunciation of
yes. Tarek and Christina. God bless both of you. I hope you both get whatever help you need.
If it was Tark, why wouldn't it be T-A-R-K instead of E-K?
I wish I cared enough to have this argument with you.
Can we get a word expert on?
Yeah, we can, and we won't.
We're not running late at all.
No. It's totally fine.
We have time. Give us a call, 312-981.
Let's call Kanye. He knows. All right, thanks, buddy. I'll see you.
Bye.
And back with the big story next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
Well, my next guest is a very good friend, I love this big fella. Bill Zamy is 6'12" of nothing but fun. And he also is one of the great writers of pop culture. You know, I called him the pop culture czar, the king of pop culture, because he has sat down and talked with every A-lister you could ever imagine, including doing the Sinatra book, The Way You Wear Your Hat, the Andy Kaufman book, and many, many others, a bunch of books with Regis. Regis is actually trying to get Bill to write another one about him. And the last interview with Johnny Carson. He joins us now, and I would urge you to read what he's written this month in Chicago Magazine and the annual health issue, a compelling piece. Hello, my friend.
I'm honored to be. The czar is back. Hello, pal.
That's it. The czar is here. Now, you were going to come into that.
Culture. I was going to. I wanted to sit near you. You knew that. And then what happened? It's a little cold, right?
Right. And considering what you've gone through medically, I think it'd be a really bad idea for you to be outside in 20 or 30 below.
It tends to be a terrible idea for the compromised immune system, as brought on by the beautiful chemotherapy. And this is the thing I wrote about, and I can't believe we're talking about it. But here we go. I finally just, I've been going through. Maybe I'll turn it over to you for a second to explain why I'm here.
Well, here's the thing. A few years ago, Bill had some issues that, like all men do, he didn't pay enough attention to. And then when he got after it with all severity, he suddenly finds out, well, I got a big problem here. And that big problem turns out to be stage 4 colon cancer. Now, the survival rate for stage 4 colon cancer is essentially, well, you don't survive. I mean, it's not good, right?
It's pretty terrible. It was actually colorectal. We might as well just scare everyone in the morning, but right. There you have it. And it is fairly, well, again, according to what people tell me, because as you know, my big rule throughout all of this is I've never really gone into the internet to look up any of it. I've sort of depended upon others to know more than me. Can you imagine that?
Well, but that's one of the fascinating things that jumps out of this Chicago Magazine piece, because I'd never asked you that, because I would have assumed you would have been just as nutty with WebMD and everything else. I think this is one of the key pieces to your survival story, that you weren't making your brain work overtime, and you said, I got to go, I'd let the doctors handle this. And then you also make the point, this became your full-time job. Save your own life.
It is. That was a thing. It was 3 years ago yesterday. I actually got the diagnosis, and I started my chemotherapy on Christmas Eve of 2013 because I wanted to maybe start a new family holiday tradition. Didn't know. I was going to be lit up for the holidays, and boy was I from the inside out. And this was just just an adventure from the beginning to the end. And I, you know, I talk about these things in a, I guess it's called What I've Learned from Cancer. No, no, it's called What Cancer Taught Me.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of hesitant to do it. I started doing this backpage thing in Chicago Magazine a few months ago, actually late summer, which is called Back Room, where I'm seeking out, I'm kind of getting back in it, Steve. You know, I'm learning how to do all this all over again. And I've been talking to, you know, prominent Chicagoans like Ditka, the great Tom Skilling, you've heard of him, and Mavis Staples, you'll be seeing her on the Kennedy Center Honors shortly, anyway, Chili Pepper in the new one, so run out for that. she is Chicago's premier female impersonator, and don't forget that.
I
turned it over to them and let them tell them in their own words. Instead of, you know, with my editor, Terry Dolan, we kind of pull out really kind of, you know, insouciant and cool little things that people say that maybe when you pull it out of context, you kind of get a better sense of people. Well, he said, why don't we do this with you and your cancer story for our annual holiday, or holiday super fun health and cancer in Chicago issue. I said, this is going to be hilarious. Let's do that. I'll be happy to help. Anyway, I can jump in. You think so? So then I, began having conversations and recording them and transcribing them. And these are, and that's kind of what this is. I kind of went back and sort of rewrit a bit of it. And
you interviewed yourself. You interviewed yourself for this, and he is extremely, you know, who he reminds me of, and it's a poor comparison considering the circumstances, but it does work. Remember the Wine Diva, The Wine Diva did this blog that was very funny about her battle with cancer. You writing about your survival story with cancer is funny. It's honest. It's hard to read for me in spots, but it's incredibly truthful, and I think it's going to do people some good. So hold on a second. Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues. CLTV will join us here in just a couple of minutes. Remember, when you watch CLTV, you never know what you're going to see, because at some point during the 9 o'clock hour, Andy will perform the seductive dance of the sportscaster. I don't like to talk about it in great detail.
I look forward to
that. But that's something I think you're going to enjoy. Bill Zamy joins us. There's no better writer than Bill. And Bill, of course, I don't know why I said of course. Bill is featured in Chicago Magazine this month, essentially interviewing himself with an extension of the column he's been doing. But this time he's talking about his own battle with stage 4 colon cancer. Now, you're dealing with neuropathy in your feet. Right. How do you describe that?
Well, I sometimes call it like having a beehive. My feet are like beehives. They're just always humming, like, and numb at the same time. It's a peculiar feeling. They're like on fire and ice at the same time. That was a result of post-chemo. After I had two big surgeries, which I talk about, you get these peculiar side effects, and the neuropathy is weird. It sort of grabs most of your extremities, like your fingers, your nose, your toes, and so on. And I will leave it at that. It's a peculiar thing, but it goes away, except for this. This is just, sometimes it doesn't. They say finally, sometimes you have it forever. And I guess you just shrug at some point and say, okay, I've kind of like committed myself to thinking, well, all right, this is how I walk. When I walk, it feels like I'm walking on ball bearings. I feel like I'm walking on a ship in a bad storm.
Yeah, because that's the weirdness of this, and that's an effect of the treatment that keeps them alive. So if you were, you're sitting down, somebody goes, here's your trade, you're going to have beehives in your feet for the rest of your life, but you're going to be alive.
That's the least of my trade, as you all know.
Yeah, there's been some reconstruction. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to this piece, you read this piece, I think you're going to be inspired. You're going to be amused. But I think you'll see some things in there that could tell you something either about your own battle with cancer or about somebody you love. And there's a longer conversation, but we'll leave it at this for now. You talk in here about after your diagnosis of not watching TV, you know, and staying in a room and just focusing on the cure. I think the voices in my head would get mighty loud once I found out I had stage 4. How are you able to avoid distractions?
It's funny. Well, you look for distractions, actually, initially. It was when I was in the hospital, and I went in, and, I was at St. Joseph Hospital, President St. Joseph in Chicago, for 118 days straight, and, from the beginning, I went in for a surgery, and I was supposed to go home a few weeks later, and I didn't go home for 5 months. And at first, I just wanted quiet in the room, so I did not put the TV on. But when I first got the chemo started and everything before all that, before I went in the spring of 14, this was years ago, and it feels like yesterday. I'm still living. I'm living with all this stuff to this minute. And but I decided, I wanted quiet on TV. I just put on Turner Classic Movies. Very, very good for your soul. Just like the old, live in 1947.
Right.
And 1947, it's great. I went around, what's my problem? So that sort of thing. But in the hospital, I needed quiet. And it was a sort of zen you bring on yourself, I think, when you're really up against it. And quiet is really, it turns out to be very, very important. And people say, well, you taught yourself to meditate. And I thought, well, finally. Because, who can do that?
I didn't have time before. Now I got plenty of time.
You ever try? Yeah, exactly. Let's make use of this. So apparently that's what I did.
Well,
anything I can do to help, I guess that's what we that's what it's about. So that's why we're laying out there.
Yeah, and I want you to come in when it's above, say, when it gets back into human temperatures and you're not risking your own life. I want you to come in and hang around with us for a morning and talk more about this. But I love you.
I would love to.
And I was deathly afraid about your own situation. And, I couldn't be more thrilled for the fact that you're doing great. I know you're going through hell every day, but you're doing great.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9-12, foot of snow, maybe this weekend. Why not? We haven't had a weekend in the last three. Why start this weekend? Tell you what, though, it's good for the shovelers. It's good for the plowers. I got a guy. A guy comes out. It's like, a reunion with someone you haven't seen in 20 years. You see him, you just start weeping. Thank you, driveway guy. The brunt of it again starts Friday night through Saturday. Gonna be pretty ugly. Andy Mazur's here for Dave today. You gotta drive to Milwaukee?
Yeah. I'm supposed to go up there Saturday, but it's looking like I'm gonna probably leave
Friday
after
morning.
The show here today.
Yeah, leave now. Leave now. The cold will continue until Friday, and then it'll moderate a little bit so we can get more snow. But it looks like it's gonna be an ugly weekend. In other words, if you have shopping to do it at work while you're supposed to be working and do it now. Joining us in studio now is CEO at Lifetime Chicago and John Williamson, whose new business is Songfinch. A lot of you may have already heard about this, but this is a very cool idea. Nice to see you. How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Doing fine. Let me get a microphone on that works for you. That's the one. Songfinch is what?
Songfinch is a service to purchase personalized songs for gifting purposes.
Now we have John DeCoss, our musical director on the show, who writes songs for everybody on the show. So this would be like if John did it professionally and did it better. It'd be like that kind of vibe.
Right.
The service has only been online for a short period of time, right?
Yeah, it's coming up on 2 months here.
It's a great website.
Launched in October. Thank you.
Really great website. Songfinch.com. You want an easy Christmas gift. You just go and answer some fun questions about whoever you're interested in and whatever the purpose may be, and then you guys come up with a song. What's the turnaround time?
1 week, 7 days. So you still have time to get it before the holidays.
So that's a guarantee. You can do it in a week.
Yep.
Wow. How many people are working with you?
We have a small internal team, but then we have several hundred artists that are part of the community. We're adding new artists every day.
Oh, I see. So you get an idea you could farm it out to somebody.
Uh-huh.
So you call Andy at his house with his harp, and he's a big harp guy, and he would put the song together. You send him the notes?
Yeah, maybe a little bigger than Andy with the harp. We're talking about touring musicians, professional musicians.
Yeah. Come on, Steve. I'm trying to sell Songfinch here.
People who are writing songs for a living. But.
So much for that next career of mine, huh?
Are they completely original songs?
Completely original from scratch.
So you don't take...
Yeah, that's part of the sell here to get people to understand what this is. Like, a lot of personalized services are like plug and play. Like, you'll have a song built and then we'll plug in a name or something like that.
Right,
this service, everything completely from scratch.
But these aren't parodies.
No.
These are, and by the way, we should say you've been doing music in for half your life.
Yep.
Not your first day. So this is the collection of network of musicians and touring folks, as you said, and people who make money doing this for a living, who are really good at it, who you have engaged in with this business to write these songs. What type of requests are you getting from people?
Oh, it's all over the board. Really heartfelt stuff from families of soldiers wanting to speak to their loved ones who are deployed.
Wow.
People doing funny songs, you know, like the staff here got together and did a song for you, Steve, which hopefully we get to listen
really?
To.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know about this.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Who's?
It was all not me.
No.
We'll find out how funny this song is here in a second.
We're not taking any of the blame.
But I assume you have the birthdays and the anniversaries and the special events stuff?
Yeah, all the typical stuff. And then, I mean, it's all over the board. The use cases are pretty infinite.
Take me through the process if somebody listening now thinks, well, this could be a cool idea. I want to do it as a gift. Obviously, you got to get on it today.
Yep.
But what do they do?
You go to songfinch.com. You click start your story or begin your song. It brings you through like a 5-step process in which you kind of pick the mood, you say who it's for, you tell, you know, a bunch of funny personal stories, things about the other person, about their personality, whatever the case may be. You get to choose the vocalist, whether you want a male, female, or surprise
really?
Me. Yeah. And then
is surprise me better for you guys because you can pick somebody that fits the mood as you see it?
It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we, based on the story, pick the best artist for that. That artist then goes to the studio. It's usually a home studio. They get the brief, and they write something unbelievably clever, and we deliver it, and it's usually followed by happy tears and unbelievable surprise. And
it's great word of mouth, too, I'm sure, right? Because the people that have gotten these delivered already are telling their friends.
For sure. Like, the viral piece on it is outstanding.
Can you pick a genre of music?
Right now you can't, and we... I mean, people.
Because as a black entertainer, you know, I'm big into rap and hip hop.
People give suggestions, but I think the problem with genre is that's like one of the most subjective things. Like, mm-hmm. you think about hip hop, you think about Ludacris, and maybe mm-hmm. I think about Common.
Mm-hmm.
So, we didn't want to give people that ability. It's really about, you know, taking these ideas and concepts and turning them into something.
And
tangible.
Turning them over to the professionals to do up something you like.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we're a couple hundred songs in now. Just overwhelming response from users and recipients.
It's a really cool website, songfinch.com. It looks very easy to get it done. But again, if you want it for Christmas, the one-week turnaround I think is pretty exceptional. But obviously, considering today's date, you better get on it today.
Yeah, if you do get on it today, use the promo code WGN50 and we'll take $50 off.
Wow.
So it's normally $200. We'll do it for $150.
You do a personalized song for $200?
Yep. Hearing is
that's pretty impressive.
If you go on the website, you can click on examples and listen to some things. They sound like songs that belong on the radio. Yeah.
Have you had to turn down any requests?
You mean
like if somebody called up, you know, you're not going to do a song about, you know, a serial killer. You know, if you had to turn down, has anybody asked you for something too wacky to do?
No, not yet.
Okay. You'll let me know when they do, because that could be very entertaining.
Exactly.
All right, before we play this song, what else do people need to know about the business or about how to do it to get it right today? Because, again, is there anything people do that you see as a mistake they're making in the request that make the process more difficult?
It like anything, the better the input, the better the output. So you can't just come and say, I want a song for my dog, and my dog's name is Fluffy. You're gonna have to open up.
We're gonna
need
more to go on than that.
Yeah, you're gonna have to open up a little bit, and you're gonna have to really share some stories.
Okay, what type of things were you told about me?
Let's see. You're funny, smart, and forgetful. You're really mad about Trump. you didn't think the Cubs would win the World Series.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You support the military and veterans.
Uh-huh.
You walk slowly and can't leave anywhere quickly.
You're very generous.
Nothing to do with it.
Well, I can't argue with any of this. It's all true.
You drive a light blue Chevy Impala that you call Blue Thunder.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Your granddaughter, Abigail Grace, who's about to be one.
Right.
Is all he talks about.
Do you have my social security number in there you're going to work in? You have a lot of information.
I won't say it on the air.
Yeah, that's good. That's actually the name of the song.
Right. Strong supporter of LifeLock, Mattress Firm, Chevy.
All right, so here's what we'll do. Let's take the quick break. We'll come back, and we'll do two things. We'll wrap up with Songfinch and hear the song, and then we'll kick right into the Wang Dang Doodle. So we got to do. Are we doing results and picks, or just picks? Just picks. We'll do our picks next as well. So stand by for that. For those of you who thought, I called my mother last night. She goes, I thought you forgot about it. You know what? She was right. Bart. That's that forgetful thing that you had in there. Yeah. More in just a second. Songfinch.com. John Williamson is the guest. We'll see what he put together for me in a moment on 720 WGN. All right. So we are here with John Williamson on SEAL TV and on WGN. Songfinch.com is the website. It's a personalized song for pretty much any reason you can think of, with a very easy template to follow when you go to songfinch.com. All right, we're ready to hear my song. Do you have a title for my song?
I don't know. What did we end up
Steve's song?
There we go.
Yeah.
Steve's song.
Steve's song. Well, you sound really excited about it, John. All right, so here we go. This is what you can get produced at Songfinch. Listen.
Steve's is in a double wide. In our blue thunder, he's a therapist to all who's ever worked for him. Yeah, and he's generous and kind, always got a smile on his face. He forgets everything except for Abigail Grace, and he supports our troops and all our veterans. But he's been fat from every station.
How good is that?
Great.
That is tremendous. Is that the first time you've heard it?
No,
you actually heard
it on the way here.
That's very funny.
That's
very
good. Funny.
Didn't miss a trick and worked Abigail Grace in. Hello, Merry Christmas to me. Nice job. All right, can I ask you to do one other thing?
Yeah.
Since you're here, yep, and since you're a sports guy, we'd like to have you pick for Dave Ennett when we do our Wang Dang Doodle picks right here.
How has he done this year?
Am I gonna get him
on the board here?
Really bad. You're gonna put him right back in the running.
Yeah, didn't you run a fantasy football company?
Yeah, a couple years
ago. All right, so you should know what you're doing. Dave, by the way, is a sports director with 30 years of sports legend behind him here.
I think the highest finish Dave has had is third, but that was once. Mostly he's like seventh or eighth this year.
So,
not having a strong year.
All right, my mom's on the phone. My mom runs numbers for the mob. So let me go to my mom here first. Hey, Mom, did you hear my song?
I heard your song, Another Ego Trip. Oh, my God.
All right, Mommy. We're going to start with John, and we're going to jump to you. We're going to totally blow the order out of the water here. All right, so John from songfinch.com, picking for Dave Ennett. Who's your quarterback?
I'm going to go Matt Ryan against the really soft San Francisco defense.
That's a good point.
I think the only worry there would be that they would run the ball too much on him, but let's go Matt Ryan.
All right, how about a score in any game? Any game on the board.
Look, I'm a diehard Bears fan, but I'm going to pick the score of the Green Bay-Chicago game, and I'm going to say 16-27 Green Bay with the victory.
I like that. You went European soccer on us.
Yeah.
All right, good. So that's the Dave Ennett pick, courtesy of songfinch.com. By the way, if he gets this right, and it's off the show.
Yeah, totally.
And before we hit Mom.
Oh, God, big baby.
That's Mommy.
Embarrassment.
In a world of major market morning radio, one woman struck fear.
Big baby.
In the hearts of jovial radio talent.
Big baby.
It's Steve's mom.
Tina! Bring me the axe!
You've been warned.
That's Mommy! Let's go to the phone now where Mom is standing by. Let me do that first, then that. Good morning, Mom. Are you with me, Mom? Oh, why am I not hearing you? No. Okay. Let me put the phone back on hold. I'm sure I hit three or four wrong buttons. Did I mention how good my song was on songfish.com? Here we go. Let me try this again. I'm afraid if I hit it again, I'm going to... let me do this. Okay. Hello? Mom, are you there?
Yes, I'm standing by.
Whew.
You know what?
In charge of anything.
I thought since I was on during the CLTV hour that I would have a camera crew over here taking some pictures.
Yeah, we dropped the ball there, Mom. I apologize.
Certainly did. If you could see me sitting here in my space heater and my mittens and my ear muffins, it's a pretty picture.
We'll try to talk to the satellite truck people and see if we can get them there before the show's over. All right, Mom, okay. Who's your quarterback?
My quarterback, I'd be nuts if I didn't take Brady.
We were talking about Pat Brady, political
Tom
contributor.
Brady.
To oh, Tom Brady, I'm being told. And a score?
And the score of that game will be New England 24, Denver 17.
All right, Andrea?
I'm going with Eli Manning. I think he's going to get hot this week. And my game will be Steelers over Bengals, 27-21.
27-21. Yeah. Mary Vanderbilt.
Oh, finally we get to pick.
No, that's totally out of order.
We're going completely out of order.
Mike and Cochran. Okay.
Man. No, we're just going completely out of order.
Okay.
Mary, go.
Oh, excellent. I'll take Aaron Rodgers. And Seattle over the Rams, 28-24.
Seattle over the Rams, 28-24. Okay. Sandberg.
I am going to take the Lions, and they're going to win 21-14. And I'm taking Prescott.
Dak Prescott?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the Cowboys quarterback. Had a rough week last week, but he should be back this week. Should be strong.
He's cute enough to bounce back.
Yeah, whatever you say. Why would I argue with that take? Who am I missing that's still
Mike,
available?
Mike.
I'm going to go with Carson Palmer as my quarterback because I think he's cute enough to come back as well. And Falcons over the Niners. Did somebody take that already or no?
No.
Okay, Falcons over the Niners, 31-14.
So we need you, Steve, and we need Grzanich. And then John DeCosta and Bennett, I'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get those later.
Bennett always goes with Oakland. So
it looks like
Oakland.
Grzanich is out looking for food, so we'll catch up with him later as well. So my picks have already been taken. I don't have the games in front of me. Who's left on the board quarterback-wise?
Jay Cutler.
No, I said, who's left on the board quarterback-wise? I'm talking about professional quarterbacks.
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. Little,
No, you can't do Derek Carr because that's who Bennett always picks.
What about Drew Brees?
Yeah, actually, I can.
Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees.
Oh, that'd be great. Mom, I'm picking Drew Brees on behalf of you.
There you go.
Do you want to go with the Saints then?
What's the game? Saints what?
Saints Cardinals.
Oh, God. That's a...
In Arizona.
Barnstormer. It's in Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Arizona's due. Drew Brees and the Saints over the Cardinals, 37-27.
Excellent.
All right, the rest will come up later. Mom, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, what are you getting me for Christmas?
Well, I couldn't tell you. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Songfinch.
Yeah, exactly. Songfinch.com. How good is John working another plugin?
Yay,
nicely done by you.
Guy.
All right, Mom, I'm going to make 12 copies of that song for you, and I'm going to take your phone and make it your ringtone. Because I know you won't be able to fix it. All right, hold the line. Love you, Mom. Everybody loves Mom.
Love you, Mom.
Yeah, we all love Mom. Annie, do you love Mom?
Love Mom.
John, you love Mom, don't you?
Without a doubt.
All right, everybody loves Mom. All right, hold on. We'll come back and get the news next, live on SEAL TV and 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Recognize that music?
Every time I hear it, I get chills. One of my favorites.
A guest just leapt to his feet and started storming around very dramatically. A little bit uncomfortable. The Phantom is back, and history is being made. We're only going to spend a second on this part of the story because I understand its historical significance. But I don't care what color you are. I just care that you're great in the role. Derek Davis is here making history as the first African-American to play the Phantom. And that's an interesting part of the story, but I'm more curious about your background. You're from New York?
I am from New York, born and raised in Long Island. My family is from Panama. I'm first-generation American.
How with that particular line did you? You must have great parents or something. That when you go to them and go, I really want to be an actor, and they went, oh, that seems like a good plan. Somebody must have encouraged it, right?
Well, my mother was very, well, they were both very encouraging. They actually, the first musical that they brought me to see was The Phantom of the Opera when I was 11. So it was
We'll have to get another one called Serendipity,
yes.
The musical.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how cool is that?
It was amazingly cool. They've both been very, very supportive over the years. My mother a little more so than my father, as I've come to understand that he's not the theater buff. But
what did your dad do for a living? Or what does he do for a living? Either one.
He was a machinist. He's retired at this
my
point.
My father as well.
Yeah?
You can't go to a machinist and go, you're getting into show business.
You certainly can't.
No, machinists would just go, are you nuts?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what he said. And he said, well, then you're going to be a waiter. You'll be a waiter all your life.
Right, 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 right. Well, he's got to be really proud, though.
He is superbly proud.
Yeah, yeah, because this is this the biggest role you've had?
This is the biggest role.
It's a big deal.
The role that I had prior to this was Mufasa in The Lion King. And so these were my
dream roles. Yeah, I mean, listen to that voice.
I was just going to say, Derek could just walk on the stage and just read, you know, text messages on his phone, and I'd be fine with that.
You've got kind of a Jeremy Irons sort of thing going. That kind
Thank
of
you,
voice.
Sir.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's very cool to hear. All right, so you were a fan of The Phantom.
Yes.
You had played The Phantom previously. In some way, or you went to see it?
No, I went to see it as a child. Right. I'd never played it prior
to. All right,
but
you auditioned a bunch. What's it like auditioning to play The Phantom?
Auditioning is very intense. All the depictions that you see on TV in shows like Smash and different things like that,
sure.
They don't even begin to touch what you go through. I had 6 callbacks for this particular production over the course of about 3 weeks, and each callback grew in intensity and time. The last one was about 45 minutes long, including filming that needed to be sent back to London to Andrew Lloyd Webber and Cameron McIntosh for their approval.
So you basically test.
Yes.
Did they test live at this point? Did they ever FaceTime or Skype audition, that type of thing, where you're live, but Andrew Lloyd Webber, somebody's watching from afar?
Sure they do, but for this particular one, they didn't.
Okay.
I'm sure their calendars are quite full, and they want to do it on their off time.
Now, my experience in doing several meaningless one-line movie parts is you walk into a room, and there's a bunch of people that look like you, and then basically it gets whittled down to whether or not you have the part. When you go in and you're going to play an iconic role like this,
yes.
Does the look matter as much, or it's more about the voice, right, and the stage presence and those things?
I would hope that at this point it's about what you would bring to the character, you know, and being able to tell the story in the clearest possible way that the audience can receive the emotion and the journey and the arc of the story.
You've been in Lion King, Showboat. This,
yes.
Obviously, though, the role of a lifetime to play the Phantom. Do you remember? I'm always curious to know where you were when you either got the call or the text,
God,
and you found out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was slightly embarrassed to admit this, but the night prior, it had been such a long process. My nerves were so on edge, I couldn't go to sleep. And so I had a couple of drinks. And I went to bed, and I woke up a little bit, you know, fuzzy in the brain. I'm not that young anymore.
Right, right.
And
would you call it a hangover? Was it close to a hangover?
It was close to a hangover.
Close to a hangover.
Close
to
a hangover.
Okay. See, the last thing you need is a call at that hour, somebody pulling your leg about you just got the Phantom.
And what's funny is my agent knows me very well, and every time he calls, if I don't get the part, the first thing he'll say is, well, I have some feedback for you. And so when I saw the call, I took a deep breath, picked up the phone, and he said, well, I have some feedback for you. And my heart dropped.
Sure.
And he said, the only feedback that I have for you is that Andrew Lloyd Webber and Cameron McIntosh have chosen you to play the role of the Phantom of the Opera. And the tears just came
out,
and I started screaming. And it was
now, did he literally wake you up with a call?
Yeah.
Okay, what are you wearing at that point?
Sir.
Yeah.
Do I wear anything to sleep?
That's
should have been
saying.
The question you asked.
I like the idea that when you get the call about the biggest role in your life, you're naked and hungover.
Oh, that's a visual.
What a great story to tell.
It's a fine visual.
Yeah.
That's okay.
All right, so it's a short run. You've got the plug. So yeah. People need to get tickets immediately if they don't already have them.
It's a four-week run, December 14th through January 8th, Phantom of the Opera at the Cadillac, the beautiful Cadillac Palace Theater. Isn't it magnificent?
It is.
Do you ever, I know this is probably a crazy question, but I don't want us to get the jitters, but every night, I mean, you probably have seven, eight shows a week. Every time you step out there, is it a different experience?
It is. I often tell people, they say it's the same show, don't you get tired of doing it over and over and over again? But the thing is that every audience is completely different every night, and the energy that you get from the audience is going to be completely different. And you're working with humans, you're not working with robots and machines, you know, so everyone is experiencing a different phase of their life. Somebody's going through something and you rally together and you work hard to make it easier for that person, or you're going through something and you feel the camaraderie of the cast come around you and bring you lift you up, you know. And then there's also a mantra that one of my directors in the past told me never to let go of. And she said, every night that you do the performance, somebody is seeing theater for the first time.
That's true.
And somebody is seeing theater for the last time. So make sure that you give a performance that's worthy of that person's audience.
It's one of the great things about live performing. You cannot mail it in. If you mail it in, you're identified immediately, either by the people you're with, or you're self-identified, or the audience identifies you.
Exactly.
And that means it's time to go away.
Right. It's time to sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for you. When we come back, though, we'll have other important questions. And by the way, Derek and I will sing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're going
to
do a duet.
Look forward to
sure,
that.
Derek will.
Yeah. Derek Davis is here.
Twins.
The Phantom. If I want tickets again, where do I go?
It's BroadwayInChicago.com. Again, it's December 14th through January 8th, or Cadillac Theater box office.
And BroadwayInChicago.com, a great place for you to get gift cards for anybody who loves theater for 2017.
Yeah, go now, get gift cards.
Get your gift now. That's exactly right. It's 9:51. More on CLTV and WGN next with our new friend Derek Davis. By the way, during the break, Andre will continue hitting on him. We're back after this on 720 WGN. Turn your thoughts away from cold, unfeeling light.
Wow, Derek, I'd be worried, man.
And listen to the music of the night.
Woo! Oh, my God.
I actually hurt myself.
You okay?
Yeah, I hurt myself trying to hit one of those.
That's okay. I'll go on for you tonight.
You're going to understand me?
Yeah, I'll understand.
Yeah. That's not happening. It's a Phantom of the Opera, December 14th through January 8th, and then around the country. There's a certain amount of superstition that goes on, certainly amongst stage actors. Do you have anything you have to do on show days? You have to wear the same lucky underpants, that type of thing?
No. There is a stretching ritual that I do before every show. My dresser knows that they have to leave the show. You're done. Fired. They have to leave the dressing room at 15 before places, and I do a stretching regimen and a breathing regimen, and I say a quick prayer before I head out to the stage.
And the routine matters.
Oh, yes.
If that gets interrupted, and then, you know, it then throws the whole thing off.
It's certainly, believe it or not, it really does.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that at all.
Really
dead serious.
Yeah.
There are certain things to sing at the level that you sing at that you can't do during the day.
Mm-hmm.
How do you protect your voice, and what can you eat or not eat, or drink or not drink?
Well, for me, I won't drink milk, because that, for me, creates an overabundance of phlegm. Everything else, really, I just eat or drink in moderation. I won't drink any alcohol. I haven't had alcohol, really, since the show started.
You should.
I mean, the Phantom is
Yeah, it's like, what?
Listen, the Phantom's very troubled, dude. I'd be drinking like crazy if I were you. I don't know if you know this story, but it's pretty dark.
But every so often, like on an off day, I'll have a little something to drink.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a show that has inspired thousands of kids to get in, in a way it's your story, right?
Yes.
Do you have a chance to meet some young Chicago actors and actresses through this? Or Broadway in Chicago is very good at making those type of arrangements.
Yeah, I'm so excited. There actually have been a couple of young people who have reached out to me directly. I try to make myself as accessible to the next generation as possible.
Sure.
Because
pay it forward, baby.
Pay it forward. And they've been reaching out, and I respond to them, and I'm trying to set up something that I can go and see some of them either this week or next week for sure. But before I leave every city, I try and at least reach out to some of the young
people. It's really cold outside. Make the kids come to you. Broadway in Chicago at the beautiful Cadillac Palace Theater. It's Phantom of the Opera. Tickets again, where and when? Yeah,
see it many times. I know I will. December 14th through January 8th, again at the gorgeous Cadillac Palace Theater, BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets. And you're right, it makes great gift certificates.
And is there, I mean, let's end where we began. Do you feel any pressure on being the first African-American in this role? Or what? You don't need to take the history on, you need to deliver the goods? Which is it?
I do feel the pressure. I'm the first African-American with this touring company. And I feel like I don't feel the pressure to not fail. I feel the pressure to do a good job.
Sure.
So that the door that's been made open, you know, can remain open, and that people can see that you don't necessarily need to focus on somebody's skin color.
Right.
Just enjoy their talent and enjoy the storytelling process.
It's 2016. It's almost 2017. Exactly. Yeah. Let's get beyond it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. It's great to meet you. Merry Christmas.
Great to meet you as well.
And congrats on all your success.
Thank you.
We'll leave CLTV here in a couple of minutes. Thanks, as always, for watching there. But we'll come back and get you Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.